Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. Pastor Brian Grant's message this week may not go down well in some circles. Nevertheless, God's Word is what it is, and that is what we preach here at Germantown Christian Assembly. So tonight, in his ongoing series taken from the life of Abraham, Pastor Grant is going to return to Genesis chapter 19 and the account of Abraham's nephew Lot and his sojourn living among the wicked in the city of Sodom. If you have your Bibles, please turn there with us as we listen to Pastor Grant bring a timely message entitled, Finding Deliverance in Christ. Here now is Pastor Grant.
Lord, we're dealing with a very challenging subject. I pray that you may make it a blessing to us. And Lord, as it goes over the radio, we pray that someone in the radio audience will be touched by the power of the Word of God. God, that you might bring deliverance through the power of the gospel. For Christ's sake, amen. A six-year-old boy was playing in the family room when his mom came in and told him it was time to stop playing. But the poor little six-year-old boy, he thought it was his older sister. And so he said, I don't have to stop playing. I can do what I want to do. He turned around and he saw it was his mom. He covered his face and he said, please, Jesus, please help me. The mom says, Jesus will, and I am his messenger. Do you know that some people believe they can do whatever they want to do? In today's text, the people of Sodom seemed to have felt they could do whatever they wanted to do and that nobody could stop them. But God did. God destroyed Sodom. At one time, churches agreed that Sodom was destroyed because of the sin of homosexuality. But we have become so politically correct that many churches, or some churches, now claim that Sodom was destroyed because of the sin of inhospitality. They say Sodom was destroyed because they were inhospitable to the heavenly visitors. Oh, if you don't believe me, you go online. I knew this long ago, but you'd be amazed how much this teaching has caught on, that Sodom was destroyed because of the teaching of inhospitality. That may be politically correct, but it has no biblical support. In Genesis chapter 18, the Lord told Abraham he was going to destroy Sodom for their wickedness, not their inhospitality. God said it was for their wickedness. And at the time God said he was going to do it, the inhospitable act had not even been committed. We hadn't even got to Genesis 19 when they were inhospitable to these angels. By the way, if you say that's not enough evidence, Jude chapter 7. By the way, the teaching, God, what God has to say about this subject is not just Old Testament. Because I run into Christians and I run into others who say, oh, the issue and what God has to say about homosexuality is all in the Old Testament. No way. In fact, I'm going to spend a lot of time in the New Testament this morning. But Jude verse 7 tells us Sodom and Gomorrah gave themselves up to sexual immorality and perversion and serve as an example of those who suffer the punishment of eternal fire. It had nothing to do with inhospitality. It had to do with sexual perversion. And God destroyed Sodom, and he says that this serves an example of those who will suffer the punishment of eternal fire. The issue was not inhospitality, it was homosexuality. I want to get it clear, I'm not here preaching against anything or against anyone. In fact, the message I seek to share this morning is a message of deliverance. I am talking this morning about finding deliverance in Christ. And if you're here this morning, whatever bondage you're in, if you have found yourself in bondage to homosexuality or fornication or addictions to drugs or whatever it is, I am here this morning to tell you, you can find deliverance in Jesus Christ. I want to answer this morning four questions about homosexuality. Four key questions about homosexuality. Question number one, is homosexuality genetic? In 2001, only 40% of Americans believed that homosexuality was morally acceptable. But just 14 years later, that percentage had jumped to 63%. This did not happen by chance. There was a strategic effort made to change America's opinion. In 1987, Kirk and Madsen published a paper, The Overhauling of Straight America. And in that document, The Overhauling of Straight America, they pointed out their strategy. And the objective of their strategy, or one of the objectives of the strategy, was to desensitize the public, to help it view homosexuality with indifference instead of with emotion. And I would say they have greatly succeeded. You say, Pastor, how do you know you have greatly succeeded? Well, because sometimes I speak with some of our own members, and they will let me know that homosexuality is not a sin because people were born that way. They were born with this genetic problem. So I realize that the community, this strategy has greatly worked. And I want you this morning, regardless of how you have come, your opinion, because sometimes we have opinions. I am going to ask you this morning to shut down your opinion for a minute and let's see God's opinion. Is that all right with you? Is it okay if we see what God has to say? I'm one of those old-fashioned preachers who believe God's opinion is more important than your opinion. To be honest, I believe it's more important than my opinion. One of the key tools that the strategy was to get the society to believe that homosexuality is genetic, that people were born homosexuals and had no choice in the matter. And therefore, if people are born homosexuals and have no choice in the matter, it certainly would be unreasonable and unfair to expect them to do anything but to act out the way they were born. This idea is so common that many are not even aware that there is no medical proof. No homosexual gene has been found. In fact, some have argued, and I'm not a physician nor am I a scientist, but some have argued that genetic studies seem to contradict the notion that homosexuality is genetic. Let me, for example, give you one of the challenges. Identical twins have identical DNA. That's why they're called identical twins. If one has blue eyes, guess what? The other will have blue eyes. If one has black hair, so will the other. If one is tall, so is the other. If one is a homosexual, if homosexuality is genetic, in other words, if this was built into their DNA, if one identical twin was genetically a homosexual, then the other twin would also have to be. The other identical twin, if this is genetic, they would also have to be a... Here's the problem. Peter Bierman from Columbia University and Hannah Bruckner from Yale University did significant research in this area, and they found that the concordance rate is only between 5% and 7%. Oh, you say, I don't understand. They are saying that their research shows that in cases where there were identical twins and one was a homosexual, only 5% to 7% of the time was the other identical twin homosexual. So they have said, this is a real problem. If this is truly genetic, how are we getting only a 5 to 7% concordance rate? You know, one of the things as I do my little homework, because what I intend to say is from the Bible, but obviously, you know, I always like to peek to see what the research says. Because I know true research cannot contradict the Bible. True, honest research, true science cannot contradict the Bible. So those of you in school and they tell you, oh, God didn't make the world. Trust me, that's not true science. That's why they call it the theory of evolution. It's man's opinion. I found out that there's a lot of effort to suppress any research that provides information that does not support the message that they're trying to convey is suppressed.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now, let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
So here we have all these people believing that this thing is genetic and that it is medically supported. Scientists clearly don't have the answer, but God does. So do you mind if we check out the manufacturer's manual? Are you with me? Is it okay if we go to the Holy Bible to see what God has to say? Read with me Genesis, Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. I thought I'd take you to a New Testament passage since folks like to think this is Old Testament law. So since you think it's Old Testament law, let's go to New Testament and see what is said here in Romans chapter 1, verse number 18. And the Apostle Paul, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and the authority of God, he says in verse number 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although mankind knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds," and so on. Verse 24, "Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason," are you with me? "For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another. Men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which is due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind, to do those things which are not convenient. Hey, don't you ever think Paul was not familiar with homosexuality? Do you know that the Roman society of Paul's day admired homosexuality? Oh, sometimes we miss that. Sometimes we miss that the society of Paul's day admired homosexuality. William Barclay, as he writes, he states that 14 of the first 15 Roman emperors participated in homosexuality. You didn't realize that? 14 of the first 15 Roman emperors participated in homosexuality. This was not foreign. This is not some ancient writing that had no idea of the real world. Paul was writing in a generation like ours. And Paul confronted his society with God's truth. And God's truth eventually impacted the society. What God needs today is a church which will stop backing away. The Church of Jesus Christ is scared to death to stand on the Word of God. Oh, I hope you've been praying, because you better believe a message like this is going to upset a few people. But this is God's Word. And my friend, if this message bothers you, I want you to know part of why God has put it here is because He loves you and He wants to deliver you. God is not against you. God is against your sin. But God offers hope and transformation and deliverance. This morning, if the Church of Jesus Christ would get back to preaching the Word of God, we would start to impact our society for God. I'm going to say a few politically incorrect things, so hold on tight. Politically incorrect thing number one: homosexuality is not natural. It's not genetic. We are not born homosexuals. Romans chapter 1 verse 26. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what? For what is against nature. Verse 27. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burn in their lust for one another. Listen, homosexuality is not natural. And I want all the young people to get this. It doesn't matter what they're telling you in your school, that some child in your school has two mothers or two fathers and they're married to each other. You need to understand from an early age, this is not God's will and this is not God's way. This is very unnatural. Secondly, homosexuality dishonors our bodies. Romans chapter 1 verse 24. Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves. We are dishonoring our bodies. We are destroying our bodies. I'm going to leave that as it is. Number three. Homosexuality is improper. Romans chapter 1 verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. It is improper. God gave them over to do things that are improper, not fitting. Here's the definition of that. Things that should never be done. That's what God means. That's what the Word of God means when it says He gave them over to a debased mind to do things which are not fitting. He gave them over to do things that should never ever be done. When you're in college and your roommate tries to inveigle you and entice you to try it out, don't go there. This is not something to try out. This is something my Bible says. This is something that should never be done. Not twice, not three times, not one time. You say, Pastor, I hear you, but I just want you to know I was definitely born a homosexual. This is who I am. I can't help it. I can understand why you feel that way. Because do you know that people are born? It's possible that you could be born with an inclination for homosexuality. Do you know every single one of us was born with an inclination to sin? Ever since Adam and Eve sinned, every human has been born with a sin nature. And because our sexuality is such an important part of us, we are all born with a desire to do things differently than what God intended. So God intended that sex should occur only in a marriage between one man and one woman. But our sin nature resists that. So men, so what happens? Men and women, they're heterosexual, but their inclination to sin is still there. Am I right about it? The inclination to resist God's will, the inclination to resist God's order is built in. So folks are shacking up. We get married. There is still the inclination to look over the fence. Am I right about it? You see, there is an inclination. We are born. So if you are here this morning and you're saying to me, Pastor, I have a problem because I think I'm born. No, you weren't born a homosexual, but you could have been born with an inclination to sin and to rebel and to resist God in that particular way. The society is telling you, go ahead. You can't help it. You know, somehow though, this the same society that tells the homosexual, go ahead, you can't help it, is the same society that tells the married man. It doesn't tell him, go ahead. Isn't that interesting? I never hear where the society says, men, women, you want five other women? Help yourself. You can't help it. No. We don't do that. Why? By the way, you realize it's the same inclination to resist God's order and God's way of doing things. It's the same thing. But somehow the society says to that person, no, you better learn to control yourself. You see, we can control ourselves. And so my friend, no matter what your inclination is, you see, this message is God wants us to talk not just about homosexuality, because we're talking about deliverance. And I believe right here in the crowd this morning, there might be somebody who's struggling with in some other area. And particularly this, we're talking about the sexual area. You might be here this morning and you're a young man or you're a young woman and you just can't keep yourself under control sexually. You're running from pillar to post. Or it could be you're the same person, but every time you see the person, although you know what you ought to do, that you ought to control yourself, you cannot control yourself and you keep on sinning. I'm here to tell you, you can find deliverance in Jesus Christ. But second question, what is God's attitude toward homosexuals? So let me give you another politically incorrect statement. God has abandoned them to their sinful nature. Somebody might say, ah, preacher, that's harsh. How could a loving God abandon anyone? Thank God the abandonment is not irrevocable.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I am a sinner, need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you.
I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. We trust this was a real encouragement to you. If you made a decision for Christ today, or if we can be of any spiritual encouragement, please contact us. Counselors are available to respond to your questions and to send you resources that will help in your walk with Christ. You can reach us weekdays at 215-242-5550. That's 215-242-5550, or by visiting our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. Living God's Way is the broadcast ministry of the Germantown Christian Assembly, located at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We invite you to join us for worship each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. and for Tuesday night community connections every Tuesday at 6 p.m. And now, on behalf of Pastor Brian Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you to tune in the same time next week for another edition of Living God's Way.